Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very noisy Henry Allington's for Football Podcast show number 161. And we're on a wonky table.
Possibly a bit the worst table.
It was the only table that was available, and I was waiting for 20 minutes for you slackers. I've been nursing me pint of Guinness.
Whatever you do, do not lean on this fucking table.
Take your pint off, make sure you've got your hand on the other side. Yeah. Balance.
So there it goes. But, we've got...
Hi.
Well, he's increased the point there. Well, usual four, I think.
If we all lean on the table, what happens?
It's like a trampoline.
That can go wrong.
I'm not sure I fancy myself in the test of strength versus Tom. I think we'll stop waiting. I'm getting there.
Don't put yourself down, lad.
Just doing it before you fuckers do.
Andy Franks is back, but he's sat at the next table.
He's actually sat behind us.
Yeah.
Unbelievably controversial.
Hello, Andy. He's waving. He doesn't work very well on a podcast.
No, but he is waving and smiling.
He might join in a bit, but...
He might join in a bit. We're not fast.
No,
all right, yeah. But no, he's in a quiet meeting to confess. So, football this week. Where do we start? Who wants to discuss something?
Is that how we're doing it now?
Yeah, because I really don't want to discuss United.
You've run out of that many ideas. You're now just going to go with who... All right, now, why don't we just start with United?
Yeah.
Well, let's get out of the way.
It's not... It's funny, people have said to me all week, what do you think about the weekend? But given that we've only won twice at Stamford Bridge in the last 12 years, and Mourinho's never lost a league game there, it's not a surprise. It was disappointing, because we started so well. There were a few decisions could have gone our way, maybe. There were some that probably should have gone Chelsea's way, like Raphael, kung fu kicking.
I mean, that was
you
fucking disgraceful.
You could see he was proper pissed off at that stage.
It's a bit pathetic. It's one of those... I personally, and maybe I'm a bit rose-tinted, I think Vidic could have got a booking. I can see why it was a red card.
It looks red, but you slowed it down.
I agree. I think it should be the decisions were completely the wrong way around.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
The thing with Vidic is that Hazard has taken a slightly heavy touch, and the problem is Vidic hesitated, but then thought, hang on a minute, I can get that.
Yeah.
And he's gone to get the ball. You can see he's gone to get the ball. And unfortunately, Hazard over 3 yards is light.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's got there first.
Yeah.
But Vidic, you can see, he's literally... you can literally see what's going through his head at that point. You can think, I'm going to get that. Yeah. I've got that. And he's mistimed it, and he's fucked it up.
And ultimately, I don't think maybe Raphael would have made that challenge had Vidic
not
just been set up.
He did get the ball, but he went in.
Oh, it was disgusting.
It doesn't matter regardless if he got the ball.
Oh, fuck no. And Raphael, that was a strike. I mean, that was...
That should have been.
Literally, it's out of the rule book. I think someone posted...
How not to tackle.
Yeah, on it. And posted the FA's line, the stance on a red card tackle, and it described it in perfect detail.
I think it was
terrible. There were some terrible refereeing decisions.
But the flip side of that though is, did you see the Sunderland Southampton game?
Yeah.
When Wes Brown took out, was it Osvaldo?
Wes Brown putting a dodgy challenge.
It's a perfectly legal tackle. He hits the ball, and I must admit, it's horrific afterwards. Looks like he's broken his ankle. But he's hit the ball and then cleaned the man out. That's a British football tackle.
I know.
If that's taken out of the game, it's a massive part of British football. I'd love to see that. There's nothing wrong with that tackle.
Controversial statement. The United defence could do with a fully fit Wes Brown right now. Because we were all over the place.
An unbelievably controversial statement.
Wes Brown is a very underrated player.
Oh my God.
No, I will argue that all day long. When we lost won the Champions League, he played more than anyone that season. He was England's first choice right back for a couple of years, despite the fact he's centre off.
That's what he needs to do. Get back John O'Shea
never
and Wes Brown.
No, John O'Shea, don't be ridiculous. But Wes Brown was a naturally very good defender.
John O'Shea nutmegging Figo.
Oh, I remember that. Well, I think I've got the JPEG somewhere on my computer. But Wes Brown was a very naturally talented defender who was unlucky with injuries and unlucky with his attitude towards the game.
But he's stupid as well, and I just think that the best, especially the best centre backs, are intelligent football players.
And that's why
he does stupid things, makes stupid tackles. He was always, I remember one of my best mates, a massive United fan, always saying that you were always on edge that Wes Brown was going to do something stupid in a game.
The best thing that happened to Wes Brown for a few years was that he had the stupider Mikhail Silvestre next to him, who would be more likely to give away.
But that's why I think you can't have a. I would never want a defender that I was worried that at some point that he could do something brilliant and then the next minute.
Defend of Wes Brown is I think he outgrew a lot of that stupidity and did develop a defender, got a few injuries, and he would never be the answer. I'm of course being quite facetious and saying we'd have him back, but United need that spark back. Someone who is a bit reliable and you could throw in there after a few weeks.
He's not picked the same two, has he, for most of his season?
Well, he's starting to with Evans and Vidic, and they're both looking exposed. I think Johnny Evans is a great defender. Nemanja Vidic certainly was one of the best centre-halves in the world, if not the best, for a while. But I don't think they work together. I'd rather see Phil Jones in there.
How much grief Smalling's getting. I think he's a great player. When he came on against Chelsea, he was their only out.
Oh, he was
he was getting down the wing.
To be fair, for most of the season, he's made a lot of mistakes. I was at the Charity Shield, he dropped a number of times.
He joined the club straight out of conference football or something.
Well, no, he was at Fulham for a season.
Not really. He joined from
Maidstone.
And he was barely in a Fulham side before he was sold.
Good knowledge. Good knowledge.
Don't get me wrong, I think he's a very talented defender. But he's another one with a bit of a Wes Brown or John O'Shea syndrome where he's prone to lots of concentration.
I don't think so. I disagree with all of the criticism against Smalling. I think he's a young defender. He's got
excellent
pace.
The problem is he's not that young anymore. He's 24. He is young maybe for a top class centre-half, but...
Centre-halves ain't supposed to be good until they're 30 or something.
He's had three or 4 years
at
the top level now and he needs to start kicking on a bit more.
Do you know what's funny though?
What?
The new the Everton chant. I can't remember who posted it. I think it was off the post or something like that. It was in the style of Hosanna. So it goes something like this. Stuck with Moyes, Man United. Stuck with Moyes, I pray. Stuck with Moyes, Man United. Playing football in a negative way.
That's lovely. They weren't singing that last season, but you know.
No, but they fucking.
But they're a better side under Martinez.
Which begs a lot of questions. Really?
Well,
I mean, it's not like they've got that. Lukaku has been brilliant for them, but they are playing some wonderful football. Yeah. West Brom did us a massive favour.
Barry would be in a side that plays football that
The thing that I will say will be telling for Everton is if they can keep up next season after. Certainly, they've got some great loan players in this year.
Yes,
but what David Moyes did there, and you know what? He probably reached his plateau with Everton as far as he could take him.
I was going to say Martinez.
And can't move on. Martinez needs to keep it up rather than being a new season, new style of play. Because if they get found out, look at Swansea this year. It could be exactly the same story. Everton are a much bigger club and have been much more successful for a number of years.
And have got better players.
Well,
as a squad.
Yeah, they've got more depth, but you would expect that from Everton compared to Swansea. And Moyes took Everton from perennial relegation.
Quid chucked in behind them.
I know for a club has injury list, but theirs is getting bigger and bigger.
I would stick an outside bet on Swansea getting relegated this season.
This is my sticking in my little 2 minutes worth of Spurs chat. I'm not a betting man. I know it's easy to say after the fact, but Spurs to win and Bones to score must have been up there with it's a pretty decent bet to put on, because the boy does not score at home to start with.
Yeah.
And he is a handful.
He's got a rocket of a shot
and he's an absolute monster.
Yeah.
We were chatting about this the other day how you use your strength on a football pitch. You know, you normally have one arm out or something, just shielding the ball and the player using up. He doesn't even bother having an arm out. He just stands there and looks at the geezer behind him going,
I'll tell you what,
he's an absolute monster. That shot that he hit, that rattled the crossbar.
I'll tell you what, as well as he's done this season, I mean, he scored against us twice, but he screams of me a one season wonder. I think next season he will be found out. I do. And
I don't know about found out, but he just looks as though He's one of these players that looks as though he's not really that interested a lot of the time. Yeah. He looks lazy.
This is the problem.
And he just looks... You think if he, I don't know, but then again, at a bigger club.
Talking about your club, surely Adebayor's looked like that worse than anyone else.
Yeah.
And he's on fire at the minute.
Yeah.
So
he is on absolute fire. I mean, and
he's in the mood.
He's in the mood. And the thing that I'm really happy about, which I've been banging on about since the beginning, is that Eriksen is starting to come through as well.
Yeah.
And I said,
that was the one signing I was pissed off that you got.
And I said, give it time, he will come through, and he's starting to look better and better. I mean, that ball that you put in for Adebayor, it gives
you
me goosebumps.
You can't do anything, that's just a goal straight away.
It's just different. I mean, every striker lives and breathes for those crosses.
Yeah.
I mean, Chadley trying to nick it off Adebayor, no. I know Swansea are in a bit of trouble at the moment and form and stuff, but it was still a good result, very good result for Spurs to go there and get the 3 points.
Well, I'll tell you what, on the subject of Swansea, I'll tell you, we've all heard about the naughty boy actions of Gary Monk and Chico Flores.
Yeah.
The police being called to the training ground and talk, which has been denied at the club, with, I think it was Flores threatening Gary Monk with a brick.
Yeah, brandishing a brick. Was the quote.
I tell you what, that is the most
Gary Monk's a big fella, and Chico Flores a bit worried about.
That is the most northern
I'm
weapon
need
in
a
the
brick.
World.
Yes.
A house brick. It's the weapon of choice for the northern football.
Yeah.
The police were called.
I've got one in
It's not like there was a training ground bust up. Like the police were, a member of the public called the police.
Was it even
a member of the public?
Yeah, apparently it was. It was a member of the public who saw it, called the police. That's why they're trying to play it down. Like, oh no, it was just a training. Like, don't worry about it. The training ground bust up. Imagine if someone walked past the training ground and they saw Chico Flores with a brick going towards right and went, this doesn't look great.
You're not building a house.
But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't bet against Michael Laudrup being gone before the end of the season, probably through his own choice. It wouldn't surprise me if the job becomes available.
Well, he does seem to only look to Spain for whoever he's buying.
Yeah.
So it seems to be where he's at.
And did you see that Newcastle are potentially buying another French player, believe it or not?
Really?
Yeah, French player.
Hawaii lads.
Surely that'd piss you off as a supporter of Newcastle. Like, I imagine Arsenal fans, that my one biggest criticism of Wenger over all the years is the players he hasn't brought through at Arsenal.
Yeah.
Local lads don't get a chance, it seems. They're a renowned French club, and Newcastle's
Arsenal seem to have gone full circle, albeit they've brought in a lot of their young players, but with the likes of Walcott, Oxlade, Chamberlain, James Simpson, Ramsey, Wilshire.
Yeah, but all born from other clubs.
I think Wilshire's the only one
Arsenal
they've brought through the season.
That's a good point. Yeah, you're right.
Southampton have created more young players for the Premier League clubs than any other.
Southampton, they were banging on about that again.
What is it, Jenkinson? Is he a youth product at Arsenal? I think he might be the only one.
Well,
no, Jenkinson came from Charlton. Wilshire and Gibbs were both good. But the worry for Southampton is a lot of other clubs, like say Leeds for example, West Ham, both 15 years ago brought through a lot of young players and looked like they had great setups, and then they all get poached and all of a sudden people look into the areas they're looking for. So it wouldn't surprise me if every top club
scouts
City. Now in Hampshire.
Hang on. This is what's annoying me about City. I was talking to my flatmate about it the other day. Is that, you know, they're buying all this massive talent. I thought Dean Michaelis
last summer.
They bought another player as well in that position. It's like they're doing it just so other teams can't do it. Can't have that player.
That's the whole Chelsea Willian thing.
Yeah, exactly.
City and Chelsea's problems will be football is very cyclical and eras move on and the way clubs do things moves on, and if they don't have established youth systems, if they don't have histories of players being promoted, because look at City, they had Daniel Sturridge and Micah Richards and they had a great youth system.
Jack Caldwell, a fucking waste.
They bought him in, but 7 or 8 years ago they had Richards, they had Sturridge,
Scott Sinclair.
Scott Sinclair was bought in from Chelsea. The point I'm trying to make with them is City had a great youth system. They've gone away from it, understandably so, because it's brought them success. But in 10-15 years' time, if football, the goalposts move again, which it has, I mean, it's only 10 years since Abramovich bought Chelsea, clubs are going to be in trouble.
Which absolutely perfectly, Michael, brings on to the point of the FIFA presidential candidate Jerome Champagne.
I was really hoping you were going to be brought on by the mention of Abramovich to his naughty girl missus.
Oh no, so that's funny.
It's not that funny. Him sat on a. I don't know, Russian, I've had a few problems on the internet.
Did anyone see this? It was basically a picture, it's two from a fashion shoot, fashion magazine, his wife's in fashion, all this sort of shit.
Fit.
It was a picture, really fit. It was a picture, it was a picture of her sat on a semi-naked black woman sat upside down.
It was shaped like a semi-naked black woman.
It was a model. As an actual woman.
So this is Mrs. Abramovich.
See, I read it as a
chair. But it was all part of it. She's apologised. The thing that took the piss was, I think, that they released it on Martin Luther King Day.
Was this a Russian photo?
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. I mean, fucking
it was a promotion for the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
The next one was a stabbing a gay man. I mean, can I completely boycott that?
I boycott it whenever it comes off.
Right. So going back to Jerome Champagne, who has put himself forward for the new
against
FIFA
against
he's going to win that one, isn't he?
But the thing is, you start thinking, okay, all right, yeah, new candidate. Maybe this, maybe the end of the nutcases. The reign of the nutcases coming to an end.
Now he's 96.
Yeah, exactly. But then you actually start looking into what Jerome Champagne has got in store for football itself, and you think. Frying pan fucking fire. Yeah. So some of the things
he's
that
a bit of a bubbly character, isn't he?
So some of the things that he wants
he's
to bring
he's carving out a niche for
right,
himself.
Keep them coming.
Stop it. Orange cards that he wants to bring and introduce.
Was that serious?
I
thought that was a joke.
No. Sin binning. So he wants to bring in the orange card sin bin rule. He also wants to bring in quotas for foreign players, which is why I thought that led to what you were saying. Wants to punish teams when they question officials and hope football will consider using more technology for key decisions. Implementing the rugby's rule, which I actually like this a little bit.
Only
the captain can talk to the referee.
Yeah, I think that's a long overdue.
With a free kick advanced 10 yards for any dissent.
Mind you, that's been in for years and they never use it anymore.
More to the point there, I suppose that the 10 yards.
No, that's bullshit. That's
rugby. Right. So if you mouth up the ref and call him a wanker.
Football used to have the 10 yard rule and the whole reason it was abolished. Because most clubs complain that their free kicks are being moved right up to the edge of the 18 yard box, where it's a lot harder to score a goal. You've got a lot less.
Then maybe you should get the option of whether you want it moved 10 yards forward,
or whether you want the wall to be completely removed.
One thing I do find quite interesting is abolishing the triple punishment rule in quotation marks, so that where a player who prevents a goal scoring opportunity in the penalty area concedes a spot kick, is sent off, and suspended. So I think the idea is that you only get punished twice.
Yeah, there's plenty of penalties, that the penalty in itself is punishment enough.
Yeah,
and I think
I quite like that rule. There are some, like Luis Suarez at the World Cup, when he blocks an open goal, saves a goal with his hand. That is fucking. But for that, that was a disgusting bit of blatant cheating, and you should get punished fully.
Well, I think you can always
see him celebrating in the fucking tunnel. Yeah.
I have to say, at that point, I really like Luis Suarez.
The two other last points that the BBC Sport put down was that all FIFA presidential candidates taking part in live debates on television and in front of the six continental considerations. So all their debates are televised, so it makes it public.
That's going to be on Eurosport, isn't it?
Yeah. But also, which Blatter would obviously shit himself about, making public the salary of the FIFA president and leading officials.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Almost like half of it, I think, okay, yeah, you've got some good ideas there, Jerome.
Yeah.
And then the other half, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Well, my problem is the bias, because apparently Jerome Champagne supports Aston Villa. Oh, there we go. Dreadful.
Get out.
But
No, you think a couple of them there are probably just silly ones that everyone mucks about, like replacing penalties with the old ice hockey run at them, kick-ins rather than throw-ins.
Making women's footballers wear tight shorts. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine someone like that getting appointed?
God.
ASAP.
God. It's really hard though, isn't it? Because something like orange cards or...
It's such a massive change. Yeah,
goalkeeper not being able to pick it up. Massive change. Yep. Throw-ins, like, massive change. There, over the years, there have been massive fucking changes.
The back four is brilliant.
Oh, it's massive.
God. The amount of boring football games in the 80s where the back four...
I know a lot of people who talk about the back...
There's a lot of people
who say that Liverpool haven't won the league since the back pass rule.
But there are massive changes that happen in football over the years. And you just say... So when we're... Now it's our generation, now we're talking about, don't change it, that'd be terrible. You just think, well, I mean, they've done it before, and I really enjoy the football I watch now. Who says that changing some of these rules wouldn't make it even more enjoyable? I don't know.
A couple of drastic ones that I've heard talking with mates and family now over the years that I thought ain't too bad. Now, they sound a bit crazy, but when you think about it...
Sorry, the substitute rule as well.
Well, there's always the most famous one, the 66 Cup final where Jimmy Greaves would have been a substitute if they were allowed and subsequently.
Sorry, go on.
No, but the two were one just completely scrapping the offside rule, just not having it. I don't think it's such a bad idea when you look at how modern football's played. You don't get a high line played anymore, or very, very rarely.
Unless you're AVB and Tottenham.
And then you get sacked.
Yeah.
But also, you can't. It's not a feasible way of playing top flight football anymore. You just get one runner from midfield, and it's shot. It's proved to be a poor way of playing. So you might get Andy Carroll stuck on a keeper for a bit, but teams will just exploit that lack of a man there and knock the ball around
and use the space where he would be if he's on the penalty the idea of that at the moment is inconceivable for me. You say that no offside rule, anarchy.
I've had the discussion with my dad, ex-centre forward hates the offside rule, but he thinks it'd be great. And the other one was 10 men rather than 11, because footballers are so fit nowadays that the space is so confined that it's a bit like pinball sometimes in there, and you don't get the rule.
That's interesting.
Obviously, you talk about less space as well.
I'd personally go for a half-time show, because can you imagine how shit it again in the Premier League, like West Brom versus Southampton, where they got resort to having the pigeon detectives doing the half-time show. Brilliant.
But that'd only be the FA Cup. They don't do it for every game. They only do it for the Super Bowl.
I think it should be for everything. Every game. Wait, are the fast food rockers doing anything? Let's get them down.
Let's just follow in Crystal Palace's...
get the cheerleaders.
Yeah, get some cheerleaders.
Right, let's go for strippers. Most grounds have bollards rising up towards the top of the stands.
On the goalpost, obviously.
There you go. The goalpost. See, we're writing this ourselves.
Fucking hell. I mean, do you remember, we do have some female listeners.
Welcome.
Bring them along.
There we do.
I'm of course putting my tongue in my cheek, but if anyone is listening and fancies pitching up and maybe giving us an example of how I could be, that's fine.
What?
Only joking.
You're asking for strippers to turn up to the park.
Are you not?
No, Michael, I think it's degrading and disgusting and horrible for women.
Next week's show's going to come from the Griffin in London, and if you live in London, you'll know about that. No, we won't go there. Speaking of controversial statements, what about Santi Cazorla?
Oh, what an interesting little picture.
If you haven't seen, and I feel a bit sorry for him. Bobby Perez, not so much, but an Arsenal fan's taking advantage by getting to pose with a sign saying, "What do we think of Tottenham? Shit." And "What do we think of shit? Tottenham." He's come out and apologised and said he meant no disrespect.
Of course he did. What's the point in that? It's a laugh. If you can't take your...
It is a laugh, but at the same time, for someone who doesn't speak English as their first language...
So he's generally saying he had no idea what was going on.
I'm sure he probably did.
This is coming from the same Spurs fans, I assume, that got annoyed when Theo Walcott told them the score.
Don't fucking start on me, Chris.
Dan is getting mental.
Don't fucking start
He's ready to throw a coin at you.
He's getting his change.
I'm on the floor just now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I assume it's coming from the same fans, City Spurs fans.
No, but he apologised, I think,
I'm sure people on Twitter kicked off.
Someone's going to kick off.
But he wouldn't have apologised.
Why are people so quick to get upset about it?
Yeah, people are too offended these days.
We said this last time. I thought Walcott doing the 2-1 was funny. I mean, yeah. I think
it's 2-0 on my phrase.
Oh, 2-0, sorry. But I think a bit more ironic that I almost feel sorry for him that he was doing it, taking the piss, and actually, you're out for 6 months. I think you should be more worried about the fact that.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, and almost like it kind of took that away from it a little bit because the poor bastard's now not playing again. But really, taking that aside, I thought it was just funny.
Yeah, but surely Santi Cazorla, with him apologising straight away, obviously realised his mistake and wasn't doing it.
Or someone's tapped him on the shoulder and gone,
you realise what you've just done there.
Yeah.
And he's gone, I'm not going to attempt to do a Spanish accent.
Well, see, I would always put it down to me and my mates, we always had sort of like a Man United Liverpool rule because we'd grown up in Northwich, halfway between the two, equally split, supporting the two clubs. Ooh. All us United fans loved Gary Neville. All the Liverpool fans loved Jamie Carragher. But we hated the other one.
Yeah.
But if they played for your club, you would absolutely love them because you love people who are a bit controversial or do something to support your club or show it. Fair enough. It might rub you the wrong way, but ultimately it's only football. It's only a bit of banter.
Yeah, but that's part and parcel of football.
Yeah.
Like I was playing last night.
Yeah, if there was no rivalry, what would be the point?
Or banter or piss taking.
Yeah.
I was playing last night, and fuck me, I mean, I love a good back and forth more than anyone.
I know, I've played football with you.
Exactly. Yeah, but especially, and that's with me. And what I'm like, the opposition. And some of them are a bunch of proper arseholes and taking a piss.
Surely that's what you do
with Gary Goals, you got him for.
Gary Goals doesn't, unfortunately. But so I was giving it just as much back. And it was just, that's all part of it. Straight away after the game, they won, fair enough, straight away, went up, shook all their hands, had a good laugh about it, to the point where, and that's what it's all about. You've got, that's one of the great things about football, is the winding up, the pissing, the getting in someone's ear, the trying to rile people up. Getting one over on them. Sort of thing.
Like you say, as long as at the end of the game.
But unfortunately, that's the world we live in. It's only got to take a couple of people to go on the internet and go, what's Santi Cazorla doing?
And the worst thing is, like you're saying, it's all one good accepting the banter at the end of the game, but the amount of storage here these days about Sunday League players assaulting referees or assaulting other players, or there was a fella in Amsterdam who got stabbed last year and killed by a Sunday League player.
Having this conversation. After lunchtime footy at work yesterday, when I was talking about where I play on Saturdays, and one of the lads, Dave, was saying, I wouldn't play Saturday football anymore, or especially like Hackney Masters or somewhere like that. I've heard stories that people, we were talking about winding people up and getting on the pitch and stuff. Because people have just walked off the pitch and headed straight for their car to get a fucking weapon or something like that. I was like, well, firstly, I've never seen that happen.
Yeah.
Secondly, if I was getting in a ruck with someone and they actually walked off towards their car with look like the intent of getting some sort of weapon, I wouldn't stick around to find out what that weapon was.
Yeah, I've played 20 years Saturday Sunday football and I've seen plenty of handbags and a couple of proper fights, and I've seen plenty of threats. Only towards the end of playing a couple of years back, I've seen arseholes give it a, I'm going to get somebody down with a gun, shit like that. Nothing came of it.
Arseholes. Yeah, because none of your mates with the guns had turned up to back you up. That was the problem.
We were playing away, that was the problem.
Yeah.
So when did you play football? 1930s New York. Gangsters. Yeah.
No, unfortunately, it was fucking
Compton FC are looking for a replacement for someone.
Bloods versus the
Reigate and Banstead League is where a fella.
Reigate?
Yeah.
Surrey?
The beautiful fucking suburbs of Surrey. One of them fixes a gangster.
Speaking of West Ham supporters, Chelsea, aren't you, Danny Payne? Our friend Danny Payne's just turned up with a.
He should be a West Ham supporter with that accent.
His name's Juan, because he's just been learning Spanish. Juan Payne in my arse.
Let me just rephrase that. Was learning Spanish.
Was learning Spanish.
You've been kicked out.
You've got a pint in your hand, that's why. Can't turn up.
Speaking of West Ham.
Yeah, bugger off.
Speaking of West Ham. So I was like, yeah, I, we I mean, have we covered that? Sorry, just go moving on.
Well, it's just that I was going to mention the amount of people leaving football from the article I read in The Guardian on Saturday about grassroots football. 180,000 people in the last year apparently have pulled out grassroots football at all. Football, I don't know if they got this right, but The Guardian say football is now the fourth most popular sport in the country. Behind cycling, athletics, and swimming.
That's the fucking. That's the Olympics.
Depends how you define it.
Fucking the 2012 Olympics. What did that ever do for us?
The problem is how you define yourselves as partaking in that sport. Because everyone, or most people in this country, can ride a bike. Most people can swim.
Yes.
And most people maybe go jogging.
Jerome can't.
Jerome.
Something fucking funny about it.
But it used to be that fishing
obviously
was
there
the
is something funny about it.
No, that was not funny about that comment.
But yeah, I mean, if you ride a bike to work, and you can count that as a sport, can't you?
I'll tell you what,
I don't know if that's what they're doing.
Yeah. But I'm sure, no, that's what it is then.
That's not
competitive. No,
no. That's going to be fucking
no. That's like saying I walk to work is me doing fucking marathon training.
That's what they might be saying.
No, they're talking about sport. Will you stop it? They're talking about sport. They're talking about sport. It's competitive sport.
No, they're not. That is what it is. It isn't that you competitively cycle. It is that you cycle.
Yeah, so that's being counted as a sport.
Yeah.
Not unless you've got Lycra on. Not unless you've got Lycra on.
I don't think more people cycle like amateur.
No, you must cycle a lot.
Maybe to an extent it's that you do it.
Oh, who cares about cycling? Yeah.
I'll tell you what, stupid. I really want to go in a triathlon against someone tonight.
What, see him die?
Yeah.
You basically want to say you want to see Tom Hunter die.
Well, you
can't swim.
Get my water wings out.
Rubber ring, that'd be great.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, you are like to that.
Speaking of people nearly dying.
No.
No, we will. No. Because you're like this El Dodo Gardinez.
Well, he didn't nearly die, did he?
Well, he didn't, but it was reported that way. I was shocked when I saw it on Sky Sports News. What have you heard? It was apparently a passenger in the car.
Ricky Vicker.
Really? How brilliant is that?
I fucking love that.
I tell you what,
a documentary though, wouldn't
if Jason Dazelle and old
Austin.
Timothy Atumba were in the car with him and Dean Austin, brilliant. Well, go on then.
No, it's not really a tenuous link now.
What was it about? And I'll make it.
It was about the West Ham fan. We mentioned.
Well, so I was in East London the other day.
Speaking of East London,
there you go.
Speaking of East London. It's actually a Newcastle fan's faux pas, but it was against when they're playing West Ham. And I think it's fucking brilliant. We all know the perils of social media for different matters, obviously.
Yeah.
Some more light-hearted than others. One, which I always turn off because I don't want fucking people knowing where I am all the time, is that location service, right? I fucking hate it. I do not want to know if I'm tweeting something or doing something. I don't want people to know where I am. Especially, I get in trouble. There's too many fucking women like coming down. Anyway. One of the Newcastle fans posted on a social networking site, I think it was Facebook, in a supporters group, that he'd be travelling back from Saturday's win at West Ham happy after Johan Cabaye's late free kick sealed the 3-1 victory for the Magpies. Unfortunately for him, on at the bottom of his post, it said sent from Newcastle upon Tyne. So the lion git was nowhere near Upton Park, so he was pretending that he'd been at a game, and his little location service totally let him down. I know, what a fucking wanker. That made me laugh quite a bit. I'll tell you what also made me laugh. The Metro's headline the other day about South Korea left shocked as Syria do an Arsenal and score unsportsmanlike goal, referring to the Mark Overmars goal in the 1998-99 season in the FA Cup game against Sheffield United with a tie level at 1-1. Sheffield United had put the ball out for a throw-in because one of the Arsenal players or Sheffield players were down. I can't remember who it was, but either way they put it out. Arsenal players.
Was it Kanu that threw it onto him?
No. One of the players has thrown it on. I can't remember who threw the ball on, but he's thrown it to Kanu, who has then turned, sprinted towards goal, with all the Sheffield United players down there going,
"What
the fuck's he doing?" Crossed it for Overmars to tap in. Actually, I didn't remember. They actually got a replay out of it. I remember Wenger actually offered a replay. Would you say, some people go, oh, you know, good man, he should have done that.
He's no Gary Johnson, but no. Fair enough.
Of course he fucking should have done that, they cheated.
Yeah.
But it actually ended up with a 2-1 result, the same result. But, so, it was the... it was Syria versus South Korea in the AFC Under 22 Championships. Massive match. Syria were losing 2-1. We're losing 2-0. Struggling anyway. But then Mardek Mardikan.
Good player.
Arsehole, to be honest.
Did exactly
the same thing. Nicked the ball as I was throwing the ball back. Nicked the ball. Went round the keeper, so they've sort of thrown it back to the keeper, and he's done a sort of little jinking run and cut it out before the keeper's come to sort of pick it up. He's cut it out, taken it round him and tapped into it and celebrated.
Can't believe anyone would do that.
Well done, Jimmy
Bullard do something similar?
Didn't Jim Staples do similar puns for about 5 years on the podcast?
A few years ago, was it the floodlights go out and he tried to just run the whole length of the pitch and score?
He did, and then he skied it.
Yeah, just completely skied it. Great.
That's
classic Bullard. Gary Johnson. Do you reckon in any other country you'd have a manager like Gary Johnson ordering his team twice? What, he did it once for Yeovil about 5 years ago, last season for Yeovil, ordering his team to concede a goal because of the way they...
Fair enough.
That wouldn't happen anywhere else, right?
No. We spoke about that. And he's an absolute
top manager.
Well, for Muda fixture, where they were both trying to score own goals. Is that...
It was... That must have been late 90s, I think, but we've discussed it before.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to see that sort of thing. Because that's the gentleman side of football. We talk about the piss taking, the banter, and this and that. There also is that, the sportsmanship side of things. You think that's got to happen. Like, that's good to see when it happens.
Yeah.
What? Hang on. Sorry, just completely before. Probably narrow on a bit. Moyes versus RVP. Thoughts?
I don't think it really exists. At least not to our own knowledge.
It's reported that the Man United medical staff passed Van Persie fit for the Chelsea game, and he said he's not. So he's saying he's not fit. They're saying he is fit.
There's been reports,
mind you, reports from the what's his name, Owen Hargreaves, as a Man United medical staff, ain't great, are they?
He's
saying they near enough ruined his career, saying they didn't know what they were doing, they brought him back too soon, too late.
That's what he's alleged. One thing I would say, obviously I'm going to...
Well, no, he's not alleged, he said that.
It is an allegation, though. He suggested it. It's not necessarily the case because he struggled at City, but obviously I'm going to defend us. What I will say is we have a great record with injuries.
I tell you who deserves no defence.
Is it Paul Ince?
No.
Alright, well, we'll go on to him in a minute.
But, I mean, he also... The trial has started this week of naughty boys Frank Ribery and Karim Benzema.
I do like... Oh, is it Zahir Dahar? Yeah. Obviously, now she's of age.
Yeah.
She's a very attractive young player.
Yeah, and he's using her as a fashion, as a media
PR stunt. Doesn't that worry you that as a present... Top professional footballers buy each other international prostitutes.
That was Ribery, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So for Ribery's birthday.
That's devout Muslim Ribery.
Married. No, it was a few years ago. No, it was 5 years ago, so it might have been before that. But yes. She was flown to Munich as a birthday present to him at the tender age of 16, which apparently they didn't know. Benzema, she was 15.
I'm not going to defend her, but she doesn't look 16. Even those photos.
That sounds like a defence to me.
I'm sorry, Christopher. In a court of law, that will not stand up.
I'm not going to defend them, but you know, you would.
Yeah.
But what I will say, in France, just to specify, the age of consent is 15. But for prostitution, obviously it's illegal, but over 18 is different to...
It must be legal in France.
To sell yourself as a prostitute, you have to be over 18.
It's legal to sell yourself to prostitute?
No, it's not. It's still illegal, but it's not... It's considered soliciting sex from a minor if it's under 18. So it's still illegal, but it's obviously more...
Would it come under Germany?
Yeah. It comes under French law.
Okay.
Because that's where the charge has been pressed. But it's like in this country, prostitution's illegal, but you're going to get less time if you by pushing Ruiz over 18 than you are Ruiz 14.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, well, that opens a whole new fucking can of worms, am I? Well, I don't think that the fact that she's a prostitute is then the issue anymore.
Obviously, Stuart Hoare's not been here for quite a while.
I mean, wow.
Anyway.
But none of them attended, which I thought was quite. None of them.
Well, she's withdrawn because she's now a high fashion model. She is Carl Langfield's muse.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's not hers to.
No, but it's out of her hands. She's actually said, I think she's almost backing them as a defence, I think, saying they didn't know about it or something like that. I think she's withdrawn over, but it's now got, it's that high profile, they've had to see it through in the Crown Prosecutor or whatever. I like the fact we've managed to make that funny.
We've tried our best.
Underage sex.
I suppose it's not
forced underage child prostitution.
There's a show title for you.
Thanks, mate. I wasn't going to go that far.
Speaking of controversy, old Paul Ince has gone, it's a shame, isn't it?
I've got that little picture.
I tell you what, it does beg the question whether you should manage your own son. I don't think I ever know an instance where it's worked out well.
We've all had them. Kids' teams.
Yeah, I used to play for my dad's team.
We've all had them. None of us have got kids. What are you talking about?
No, I mean.
Not that we know about.
There are
some people that listen to this that I would appreciate you not saying that sort of thing, Michael.
All right. Hello to the rest of
you. But you must have played in a football team where some kid's dad is the manager and he's
playing. Oh, I hate him.
Exactly.
Oh, no, actually, no. Most of the time, I've played.
I grew up playing with a very fat ginger central midfielder who didn't deserve to be there.
Why did it make a difference if it was ginger, Michael? Why was that relevant? Why was that relevant to the story?
Because
a ginger player's not a very good football player. Are they less ability?
It's quite relevant. Well, I love Paul Scholes, but it's quite relevant because neither his mum or dad were ginger.
You've done very well to get out of that. You've done very well. So basically what you're saying is it probably wasn't even manager's son.
Is Thomas Ince ginger?
I just didn't like the cunt. There's our weekly C-bomb.
No need.
Have you seen what ex-Blackpool defender Ian Everts has posted on Facebook? Or Twitter, or something.
Instagram, for fuck's sake, get it right. Get your social media right. No. But
right.
Who he played for, who what his personality is. The fact that he's only got 24 likes, I think, is very pathetic.
If you don't know him, he's a Blackpool defender. He posted this on MySpace Bebo or something. He was Blackpool defender. He's put absolutely delighted. This arrogant Bozai. Joke of a manager. He put Boz.
Has got the
sack. Sacked from a text message. Glad he got shown the same respect I got from him. So basically,
Hashtag justice.
That's the most
smiley
important.
Smiley face. Smiley face. Smiley face. Thumbs up. Thumbs up. Thumbs up.
Well, they were quite laughy faces as well.
So no. That's a I'm crying with laughter face.
Yeah. Dan knows about this shit.
No fucking emoticons, Michael. Yeah. Look. You know what? If you're going to be the host of this podcast, you need to know about everything. You need to know about emoticons. You need to know about Instagram. You need to know about this shit.
I haven't been on LinkedIn for a while, so I don't know what the kids are doing these days in terms of social networking.
You're probably going to get sacked soon.
I mean,
from the football podcast.
That would
by text.
Bone up. And then we'll do a post.
That would make me feel Hayley from Coronation Street being put out of my misery.
Now you've managed to actually throw in a Coronation Street.
The Northern.
Bring up the street.
Right. Anyway, I think it was I mean, we've been fucking rabbing it on for ages. I'm going to go. Before we go,
are you going to do one of your trademark quick fire runs through the news?
Gary Medel misses team bus back after the Man City defeat, so catches a train with fans. We'd like to see that. Loads of photos on social media.
Speaking of people who sound like Medel, Arturo Vidal, have you seen what he said about why he's playing so well?
No.
He was asked why he was playing so well. He said it's because he's the best player in the world in this position.
Good lad.
Gentlemen.
Stan Collymore versus Twitter. We've seen this. He loves a bit of Twitter, doesn't he? He's now basically starting a war against Twitter.
Battle of the year.
After his comments
it's
about
better
Suarez.
Than Collymore versus Johnson.
After his comments about Suarez diving, he got untold abuse from Liverpool fans. obviously racist, the whole lot, and he's basically accusing Twitter.
It's not like scouts to defend their own, is it?
Yeah, accusing Twitter of directly of not doing enough to combat racist, homophobic, sexist hate messages, all of which are illegal. Yeah, so yeah, no, fair play to him. Yeah. I think that's
speaking
it.
Of show photo. Speaking of racist,
show
though,
photo.
With Barber Channel, speaking of racist, have you seen that Zoopla have withdrawn their sponsorship of West Brom? Yeah. From the end of the season after.
Yeah, what was that about?
No, however, that however.
Canal.
Nicholas Canalka.
However, there is, I mean, as much as I hate to give him credit, Staples from, through a West Brom fan. They were saying that basically Zoopla's contract ended at the end of the season anyway. They were never actually going to renew it, so now they're doing it to make themselves look like the fucking
a bit of PR.
We're not going to stand for this sort of thing. We don't like anti-Semitism. We're not going to renew our contract. We're like, we probably weren't going to do it anyway. Yeah. But anyway, so that's me being pessimistic. But show photo without a doubt is that. Paddy Power's brilliant stunt after the Chelsea game, which was it will be the show photo, Michael, whether you like it or not.
Wait, it's going to be.
Is that an actual?
It's Alex Ferguson.
I know, but I'm saying it's not.
It's not actually Alex Ferguson.
Is that a mod? Is that an actual person?
It's not an impersonating mod. It's not actually impersonating a glass box. It's a fucking model.
No,
is it a waxwork?
No, it looks like an impersonator.
That's a shocking
person in the box.
That's what I'm saying. It looks like it's an impersonator in the box because it's a fucking shocking appropriation of.
Anyway, it says in case of emergency, break glass, and it is Alex Ferguson basically in a glass box, which was pretty good banter from Paddy Power.
They're very good at that.
Very
sort
witty.
They are. And finally,
have you still got your main bench shoelaces, Dub?
I do have to have.
So
I've
still got them as well.
I've got loads of pairs. I still play. I love them. Before we go, fuck me, it's gone for ages. Melbourne Heart.
Yeah, it's a bit.
No,
has it been another disappointing week? Has it been a defeat?
It's been no, it hasn't, Michael. No, it hasn't. And what was even better was that it was on Friday morning, and I did no fucking work for the first hour and a half.
Because none of our management were in the office. If you're listening, we were all working.
We were all working really hard and watched the entire game, and it was fucking brilliant. It was their 100th league game. It was to stop them. If they'd lost again, it would have been officially the worst ever record in A-League history of going without a win on the trot. They're kind of equal with Auckland.
Auckland
Wellington,
bastards.
Oh, fucking
Wellington Phoenix.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's not. It's Auckland someone.
But they're cool and get a bastard.
So they're not, but they're not. They don't hold the worst. And the crowd
just
was fucking
the
amazing.
Joint worst. And it was against Newcastle Jets.
It was, and they won 3-1. They went 1-0 down. In I think it was the 45th and 47th minute, as in of the first half. So in stoppage time, they got scored 2 goals in 2 minutes. Ian Ramsey and Duganzic. Scored and then after about 70 minutes I think it was Duganzic scored again to make it 3-1. He could have had a hat trick.
It was a lovely finish for the third.
I
tell you what,
they played really fucking well. Harry Kewell played very well.
I was going to say it might say more about Harry Kewell than it does about how well he played, but it's the best I've seen him play probably
second half especially. They absolutely murdered him and it was brilliant. The crowd were going mental. Massive for Hart as well. Is Orlando Engular made his debut from the bench after his broken leg in pre-season. That boy is a fucking beast. I mean, he is a monster. He's basically the same sort of build as Yaya Toure. He's fucking massive. That could be huge for them coming back. Unfortunately, the table isn't great viewing.
It's better viewing than it was last week.
It is, but Wellington Phoenix are the closest team on 17 points. Melbourne Heart have 8.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to start supporting the direct competitors. Melbourne Victory have just signed Tom Rogic on loan from Celtic.
Oh my god, that is unbelievably controversial. Well, bring it on. Anyway, good luck to the Heart for next week. Let's push on now. Let's sneak up that table.
Fingers crossed. And speaking of pushing on, we're going to go back and do some work. You know the usual shit. Yeah, is it? Follow the words on Twitter at Football Podcast, Facebook.com/TheFootballPodcast, banter at footballpodcast.co.uk. We will have a new website. It is nearly ready to launch. It genuinely is.
Such a liar.
To be fair, I'm currently working on our wedding website first, so the missus comes before you.
Get your priorities straight.
Yeah, well, mate. Hey,
but I tell you what, I will send links to both of them.
Fuck you, fuck my top.
Enjoy it.